we have really focused on how to hack ourselves back to youthful ages.
Can we make a plant-based alternative?
He refused all commercial pet food.
I'm Richard Gerhart.
And I'm Elizabeth Gerhart. You just heard some snippets from our show. Wow, you really want to hear the whole thing, so stay tuned.
Want to protect your business? The time is near. You've given it heart. Now, get it in gear. It's Passage to Profit with Richard and Elizabeth Gerhart.
I'm Richard Gerhart, founder of Gerhart Law, a full-service intellectual property law firm specializing in patents, trademarks, and copyrights.
And I'm Elizabeth Gerhart, not an attorney, but I work at Gerhart Law doing the marketing, and I have my own startups.
Welcome to Passage to Profit, everyone, the road to entrepreneurship, where we talk with startups, small businesses, and discuss the intellectual property that helps them flourish.
We have a very special guest, Dr. Jeffrey Gladden, founder and chief science officer of Gladden Longevity and the author of the book, 100 is the New 30.
I really need to hear this.
That's a very optimistic book title, so I can't wait to get into this.
We're kind of going with the health theme today. So our next presenter has natural products for the skin that do amazing things called Green Goo. Her name is Jody Scott, and she'll be talking about greengoo.com. And then we have Zoe Lay with The Rockster, therockster.com. It's unlike any dog food anywhere else, and their distribution with it is going crazy. Dogs love it.
But before we get to our distinguished guests, it's time for IP in the news. There's a dispute going on right now in St. Louis between two stores. One is a thrift store, and it's called Found by the Pound, and another store that is an upscale urban apparel store. Their name is Found Fashion. And so Found Fashion opened, and the people who went to the thrift store, Found by the Pound, were confused between their store and the other store. And so Found by the Pound got upset, and they filed a lawsuit against Found Fashion, hoping that they could stop Found Fashion or force them to change their name.
They did, however, reach out to Found Fashion first, Found by the Pound did, and tried to settle it outside of getting the lawyers involved and were ignored. So if you get one of these letters or somebody reaches out to you, you should really try to settle it as soon as you can without any pain or as little pain as possible.
Well, I guess they were just hoping that the Found by the Pound people would go away, but they decided not to do that. And there's a couple of interesting parts about this. First of all, Found by the Pound doesn't have a trademark. So they're trying to enforce rights in their name under common law rights, which is always a challenge. If you want to enforce your brand, you're better off having a trademark. The lesson here, too, is if you get a cease and desist letter, respond to it, because sometimes you can work these things out. By not responding, they probably provoked the lawsuit.
This is in St. Louis. They're both in St. Louis, and I don't know if they ship across state lines, but would it work for them just to have a state trademark, or do you think they would need a federal trademark?
Well, you're always in a better position if you have a federally registered mark. You do have to have interstate commerce. Oftentimes, that's an easy test to pass, especially in St. Louis, being so close to Illinois. If you have customers from different states, that often works. But yeah, that would definitely be a consideration, and maybe they couldn't qualify for a federal trademark.
Well, that's true. But I do want to say one thing. Since we are talking about intellectual property, I do want to give credit to the source where we got this article from. I found this on riverfronttimes.com, and it was written by Ryan Kroll. If you want to know more about it, you can reach out to them on their website. But also, if you want to learn more about trademarks, you can go to learnmoreabouttrademarks.com and download a white paper that talks about trademarks, or you can call Gerhart Law and talk to Richard.
Absolutely. So now it's time for Richard's roundtable. And I guess the question here is, what do you think of this situation? Number one. Number two, would you be confused between the words Found by the Pound and Found Fashion? Dr. Gladden?
I don't know. For me, I would be confused, quite honestly. I don't shop that much, right? So if I was looking for a clothing store that said Found something or other, I might end up at the wrong shop. So I think there is some confusion there, just as I heard about, you know, the description of what you're saying. We have a number of trademarks in our practice, as well as patents and other things. So we've been very conscientious about trademarking things that we think are valuable to us. And, you know, their name obviously is very valuable to them. It's their whole marketing tool and really is kind of an innuendo of what's in the shop, right? So, you know, in that sense, I would think it'd be important to them. I think it's a little bit of negligent on their part not to have gone down the path of getting a trademark for it. That being said, I can understand their consternation and they're still trying to protect themselves. It always impresses me that the found clothing people take such an arrogant sort of approach. I wish the word was a little more cooperative, right? And so that's a little bit disheartening to hear that people can't just sit down and figure something out.
Sometimes people react out of defensiveness and they're like, oh, you're going to challenge me. And they think if they don't say anything, the problem's going to go away.
Mm-hmm.
But it doesn't usually work that way.
Right.
Tanya?
I think when it comes to a lot of marketing and branding, if there's too much similarity in the name, it's definitely going to create confusion, especially with something so similar to this specific name. And I think, you know, when you come up with something great as far as a tagline and a title, like you should obviously protect yourself. But in the same sense, it doesn't give you liberty to steal from others in order to, you know, make your brand expand and be more relevant.
Jody, any thoughts about this?
It's sort of business 101, right? When you first start your business, you think about what am I going to name it? And then from there, you start your search. You look up websites, you do trademark searching. I mean, obviously Found by the Pound, to your point, did not trademark it, but your name is important. Your brand is important and you want to covet that. So I think, you know, unfortunately Found by the Pound was short-sighted in not trademarking. I think that would have obviously created more boundaries and bumpers for them, but Found Fashion short-sighted as well in terms of not really doing their due diligence because your name is only as valuable as you create those boundaries around it. Your lane matters, and they are both in fashion. So that does leave room for confusion.
Mm-hmm. Zoe, welcome to the show. What do you think?
In Europe, I'm speaking from England, if you haven't really registered your trademark, then you really wouldn't have a leg to stand on. And because found is a normal word in the language, and it's essentially a past tense of a verb, to find. And I think we have a number of brands which use find something or other. Are there any other brands in the US which have a precursor of the word found?
You know, that's a wonderful question. I can't really think of anything off the top of my head. But in the United States, you still get trademark rights simply by using the word in commerce in connection with the goods that you have.
And while we're talking about this, just because you're trademarked in one country doesn't mean you get the rights in another country. So for you selling Rockstar, you're probably trademarked both in the US and in England, right?
And in China and in a number of different countries, yes, and regions.
I guess the takeaway from all of this is trademark when you can. And if you'd like to learn more about trademarking in the process, you can go to learnmoreabouttrademarks.com. And you can download some information about trademarks, or you can book a consultation with me, Richard Gerhardt, and I'd be happy to explain the process to you. And now it is time to move to our distinguished guests. And I'd like to welcome Dr. Jeffrey Gladden to the show, the founder and chief science officer of Gladden Longevity and Advanced Performance Center, located in Dallas, Texas. And he's dedicated to optimizing life, energy, longevity, health, and performance. And as I mentioned, he's also the author of the book, 100 is the New 30. So welcome to the show, Dr. Gladden. Such a pleasure to have you here. We met at an event not too long ago. I heard you speak and I was very impressed and I couldn't wait to have you on the program. Let's talk a little bit about longevity. One of the things that we've heard a lot recently in the press and in the news is age hacking. Maybe you could explain what age hacking is.
Age hacking, that's actually a term that we trademarked. You know, when people think about longevity, I'll just start here because I think it's important. It's a little bit of an abstract concept. If you look it up in the dictionary, it means to live a long time or to, you know, live long, so to speak. What I think about is, you know, everybody that I ever saw that was 100 years old or 110, I was not exactly going for what they looked like, right?
Right.
And so longevity is not necessarily an end in itself. To me, longevity is a byproduct of something else. And so the question becomes, what's it a byproduct of? Well, it becomes a byproduct, I think, of being young, right? If you're young today, then you have a long future ahead of you. If you're young tomorrow, you have a long future ahead of you, you know, bar a bus or something else taking you out. So at Gladden Longevity, we have really focused on, and this is answering your question about age hacking, if you will, how to hack ourselves back to youthful ages. That's really the critical piece. And for me, it starts with a mindset. You know, so many people buy into what they're being told, either by their doctor, their family, their business, or whomever else, hey, you're getting older, right? And that was my story. You know, I got sick in my 50s and I was told, hey, you know what? You're just getting older. Why don't you take an antidepressant? And so it was when I said, no, I'm not going to go down that path, that I ended up cracking the code for myself and solved all the issues I was dealing with. And then I started to think, well, geez, if I can be this good now, I wonder how good I can be. And so that led to the first question, which evolved into the idea of making 100 the new 30, right? And so currently I wake up 27 every day.
Congratulations.
I'm ready to
right.
I do want to say that you were able to do this partly because of your background. So you have a medical background. So you really knew
That's right.
what you were doing. So like somebody that doesn't have a medical background probably couldn't get as far as you did.
I think that's exactly right. I mean, my background is interventional cardiology, right, which I practiced for 25 years here in Dallas. And I built my own heart group, had 10 offices and 12 doctors. And we flew around in a little plane and provided care to outlying hospitals. I owned cath labs and sold cath labs. I co-founded a heart hospital with another cardiologist in Baylor. I've been involved with medical device companies. I sit on the board of a couple of those still. There's an entrepreneurial thread throughout my entire career, but I got to a point where traditional medicine was failing me, right? And I realized I'd been practicing sick care, not health care. And once I got healthy again, it was like, geez, I can't go back to sick care. I can't go back to asking those questions. I want to ask different questions, right? So that's kind of how I made the transition.
What's your most important secret to that?
Well, I think it really does start with mindset, quite honestly. I think if you believe that you're aging and that it's inevitable, well, that's exactly what will happen. And I think mindset kind of dovetails into questions. So what questions are you asking, right? If you're asking, well, geez, how do I sell the company and how do I retire and how do I play more golf and how do I find the right retirement community to go to? Then those are the answers that you'll get. But if you're asking bigger questions like, you know, how do I actually get young again? How do I actually get young and stay young? How do I actually perform at all levels like I did when I was younger? Then those answers are out there. They're really out there. And that's what we've amalgamated into our practice.
One of the things that we're thinking about here is youthful revival and exploring the science behind rejuvenation. Can you talk a little bit about that?
Yeah. The first thing to understand is that aging is not a linear process. We have this perception that it's linear. You know, every year it's another birthday. I'm another year older. I don't feel that much different. You know, we feel like we're in a linear game. But in actual fact, we're playing an exponential game. Aging is an exponential process. We age so much more between 63 and 78 or 70 and 80 or 80 and 90 than we do between 30 or 40 or 40 and 50. It's dramatic. And if you don't actually understand that that's the game you're playing, it's very hard to have a winning strategy. For example, if I were to ask everybody in the audience and everybody on the panel, you know, what are you going to be like 10 years from now? What are you going to be like 15 years from now? It's like, well, I don't know, probably about like I am, right? It's very, very hard for us to imagine our decline. Very, very hard. Even though we see it all around us, very hard for us to relate to it. And that puts us at a massive disadvantage when you're playing an exponential game. So the first thing is to understand the game that you're in. The second thing is to understand where are you in the game, right? What cards are you holding? So you have to know your genetics. You have to understand what are my predispositions? What are the cards I'm holding? What am I prone to? What are my assets here? And then where am I in this game? We all have a chronological age, right? I'll turn 70 at my next birthday, but I wake up 27 every day. I went on my elliptical 9 miles this morning. I mountain bike over the weekend with my son in Colorado. I do anything I want to do because I'm 27. We all have a chronological age, but the question is, what are your mosaic of biological ages, right? What's your brain age? What's your eye age? What's your heart age? What's your blood vessel age? Your lung age, right? And then beyond that, what are the ages of the biological processes that actually drive the aging process? We're used to thinking about health, right? Our liver, our lungs, our heart, et cetera. But below that is another level of things going on, like telomeres getting shorter and senescent cells forming and mitochondria not working as well. And all these different things that actually are the root cause of why we age. And so if you don't have a strategy that's directed there, then you're also going to miss the boat. So in our world, we try to really create an exponential strategy for an exponential problem. And that's led to the term age hacking, if you will, that exponential approach.
So how do you do the assessment of all the physical factors that you just mentioned, you know, eye health, heart health, lung health? How do you go about getting all that information about yourself?
When people come to the clinic, they typically spend a couple of days with us and we send off, you know, genetics tests to different labs around the world. It's not about sequencing, it's about reporting. So we get a good idea of what cards are holding. Then we do a lot of biometric testing. This is testing where we'll put you on a machine and see how well your brain works or see how strong your heart is or, you know, that kind of thing. So we can actually measure. And then we send lab work also to get an idea not only of what's the status of your kidneys, but what's the status of your telomeres and your mitochondria, and are you developing senescent cells in your body and things like this. And it goes even further than that. But the point is that we can actually kind of unravel the knot of where somebody is with regards to really four areas that we're interested in: life, energy, longevity, health, and performance. And when you have all that put together and you understand the environment that they reside in, now you can actually develop a really comprehensive strategy. And that's what we're so passionate about, is that comprehensive strategy and helping people to access that.
So Dr. Gladden, does that strategy revolve mostly around food and exercise?
No, it doesn't. You could never get away from food and exercise. So a lot of people, when they get to a point in their life where they don't look like they want to, don't feel like they want to, can't do what they want to, you know, their approach is really one of two things. They either acquiesce and say, well, I guess I'm just getting older, and where's the retirement, and where am I going to move to next? Or they fight back and they say, no, I want to be younger. I want to maintain my vitality. So I'm going to get a healthy strategy, right? I'm going to start eating better, sleeping better. I'll start exercising. I'm going to lower my stress. I'm going to learn to meditate, create great relationships around me. All these kinds of things. And yet, that is a critical piece. You can't get there without it, but it's not enough. It turns out it's a linear response to an exponential problem, but it's a critical piece. So you have to have the other pieces that go with it. You have to go right at the drivers of aging. You have to go right at the pieces related to performance. Like, you know, if you're going to be fast, agile, strong, quick, balanced with great cardiovascular endurance, great recovery and flexibility when you're 90, then you should be that today. Right? If you're not that today, you're not going to be that at 90. You've got to kind of rethink all of this and then train for each of these things. You know, you want your liver to be in great shape, your heart in great shape, and you want your telomeres to be long and your mitochondria firing well. And then the life energy circle is super critical, but it also includes many other factors like mental health, so much anxiety, so much depression, right? So much ADD, ADHD, so much addiction. Right. So you can give somebody all the biochemical tools, but they can self-sabotage through those behaviors. And so being able to go in and work with people at that level becomes critical as well.
I'd like to make my telomeres longer. How do I do that?
You come see us. We measure them and see where you're at. And then we have combinations of things that we can give you that will relengthen your telomeres.
Passage to Profit with Richard and Elizabeth Gearhart, Dr. Jeffrey Gladden. We have to take a break. And we'll be right back.
I represent low-cost airlines, and we know a lot of you are not traveling right now, and we understand. However, if you do need to travel between now and the end of the year, now is a great time to lock in some of the lowest prices we've seen in a lifetime. Hey, in normal times, we can save you up to 75%, but now airlines are practically giving away seats. We have inside deals on over 500 airlines. Here are a few sample round-trip deals we found. Seattle to Vegas, $35. Chicago to Atlanta, $85. Los Angeles to Atlanta, $100. Of course, there are some limitations, but the airlines want your business right now. And cancellation and change fees are flexible. So fly somewhere this year, book now, save a ton, call right now.
858-988-7477. 858-988-7477. 858-988-7477. That's 858-988-7477.
Have you ever met a single person in your life that enjoys paying taxes? No, no one does. If you can't sleep at night because you have a huge problem with the IRS, I've got some free advice for you. This service is strictly limited to individuals that owe the IRS $10,000 or more in back taxes. And if you qualify, we can guarantee that you won't be writing a big fat check to the IRS, or our services cost you nothing. The first 100 people that call today will get a free tax consultation worth $500. Stop worrying about your IRS problem. We can help you, we promise. Call the tax doctor right now. I mean right now to learn more.
800-917-8546. 800-917-8546. 800-917-8546. That's 800-917-8546.
Now back to Passage to Profit. Once again, Richard and Elizabeth Gearhart.
Special guest, Dr. Jeffrey Gladden, founder and chief scientist of the Gladden Longevity Clinic and Advanced Performance Center, talking about longevity and how to live longer and better. Tanya.
Dr. Gladden, I love what you're doing. It's very fascinating. It sounds like what you're doing is you're reprogramming people at a cellular level. And I know you mentioned exercise and diet, but is there any other, I guess, reprogramming outside of the mindset piece that you do from like a supplement standpoint or a vitamin standpoint that helps the body?
Yes, of course. Of course. When we come across an issue, let's say somebody has congestive heart failure, then there's a variety of techniques that we can use to actually get their heart to work much better. And it's a variety of supplements and regenerative approaches. So utilizing things like stem cells or things like that, we can get an impact. But when you couple that with other technologies, right, it's really in the layering of things together. It's kind of a symphonic process. So there's a timing, a sequence, a frequency, intensity, and duration with which you do things. And when you identify that somebody's low in particular nutrients, let's say, you can supplement those nutrients and or change their diet to give them those nutrients. When you find out that they're aging, you know that the heart needs this, this, and this to work better. And so you can get them started with that. And then you start to layer in the stem cells. But before you do the stem cells, you may do plasmapheresis, where you actually remove their old plasma to get rid of all the old factors that are helping to keep them old. And we may even replace it with young plasma and then put the stem cells in. So when you start to do these sophisticated approaches, the results really become dramatic. And that's just like super exciting for us every day. You know, in my own life, part of my mantra is that I live in an energetic fabric of love and support and operate there. And that's the same fabric that we have here at the clinic. So it's really a very supportive environment. I will say that we have a lot of entrepreneurs that come to us. And the reason they come to us is that we don't take insurance, although people can pay for this through their businesses. And most people are paying for this pre-tax. But a lot of entrepreneurs come to us because they've leveraged their health for the sake of building their business. And they want to get that back because entrepreneurs, I love entrepreneurs because they want to build two more companies or they've got more ideas they want to do. And so they want to stay young. And some of them come in pretty beat up, quite honestly. I mean, their telomeres are really short. Their brains are shot. Their neurohormonal systems are shot. And it's just like, okay, I didn't realize I was actually paying this big of a price, right? Their mind is writing checks their body can't cash.
So you can actually fix a lot of this stuff or improve?
Yes. Yes. Yes.
So kind of what are the indicators of improvement after you've been working with somebody for a while? Kind of how do they show up?
Let me give you an example. So we have an entrepreneur that came to us. This is just an example of a guy. He'd been building his company. He came in overweight, out of shape, feeling tired all the time, somewhat depressed, intermittently depressed, you know, had some bloating. We went through and did all of his testing. It turns out that he was beating himself up pretty good. His telomeres were short. Neurohormonal axis was shot. He was way out of shape cardiovascular. He was developing early cardiovascular disease. My brain is 37, right? If I test it the way we test it, my brain is 37. His brain was older than his chronological age. People come in and they're pretty beat up. And then you go through and you start to systematically approach these problems. He had the right mindset. He's like, no, I want to be young again. I truly get that. I want to be young again. And he started to implement the things and we kind of layered in after we do the testing. Let's start with this. Let's start with that. And we work our way through. And so his after story was, you know, he pops in here and his wife is in the program too. And they're like raving about how great they feel and all the things they're doing. And now they're skiing with their kids again. And they never thought they'd ski again in their lives. And they're doing all these things, right? They're really reclaiming their youth, if you will. And then, you know, you talk to them a year later after they've been in the program for longer. And it's like, things are going so well. We're thinking about, you know, starting a new business. And we want to start a new business actually in the health space because we want to pay for our longevity with a business that's in the health space and things like this. So when you feel great and you look great and you function as a young person, it changes everything in your life. And so we love seeing that.
How do you maintain youthful energy levels?
It's a complex equation. You have to understand why somebody's energy has gone down. So the first question is to understand why is the energy not where it was? A lot of different factors play into it. Some of them are related to thyroid. A lot of people develop something called subclinical hypothyroidism. They have normal thyroid levels in their blood, but their tissues are not getting enough thyroid. And in my case, genetically, I wasn't converting inactive thyroid to active thyroid in my brain very efficiently. So making sure somebody's thyroid is in the right place is critical. Then hormones, other hormones, sex hormones become important. Then mitochondrial function becomes very, very important, right? The mitochondria are the little organelles in the cell that are making ATP. And when telomeres get short, guess what? They tell the mitochondria to shut down ATP production. So you've got to look at the telomeres. You've got to look at the mitochondria. You've got to look at all the different pieces, the inflammation, and you've got to attack the whole thing, right? It's like a recipe in a kitchen, right? You're asking, how do you make a great meal? Well, you have to have all the ingredients and you have to put them together in the right way. That's really the best analogy.
This is very encouraging because even if you have been very unkind to your body and wrecked it, it's not beyond repair if you can find the right things to do.
I think the best thing you could do would be to grab a copy of the book. 100 is the new 30. The subtitle is How Playing the Symphony of Longevity Will Enable Us to Live Young for a Lifetime. So it's about 450 pages. It's very easy to read, but it's also very comprehensive. It's out in audiobook on Audible. There are ebooks, there are paperbacks, there are hard copies. But I would start with that. The other thing is we have a podcast, the Gladden Longevity Podcast, also uses the term age hackers. We just recorded our show with a gentleman that's going to go from the Dead Sea to the top of Everest. We're going to be talking with him about living young and how he does that when he's in his, you know, late 50s. It's a really fascinating podcast, really interesting guests and things like that. And then, you know, our website, GladdenLongevity.com. I will just say one more thing. When it comes to that life energy circle, really for the audience to grab this, yes, it's being 30 years old, but people will say, well, geez, I don't want to be 30. You know, when I was 30, I was a mess, or I was this, or I was that, right? The idea really is to have a 30-year-old body and a 300-year-old mind.
That sounds great. The other part of it, though, is just having a leader or a guide who can show you that it's possible.
Well, my favorite part of this is the scientific approach. Doing these tests, getting the answers.
We want to get it right for the individuals. And each person has their own set of issues, their own set of genetics, et cetera. So it's really fun for us. Everybody's like their own painting, right? And it's fun to kind of put that whole thing together.
Dr. Jeffrey Gladden, where can people find you again?
They can find us at GladdenLongevity.com. That's the main website. And the book is 100 is the New 30, How Playing the Symphony of Longevity Will Enable Us to Live Young for a Lifetime. And then the podcast, the Gladden Longevity Podcast, which also Age Hackers is associated with. So those are great places to find us. And, you know, if people want to reach out and really talk to us, if they reach out through the website, we'll set up a call with them and go through what their aspirations are, what their hurdles are that they perceive, and then sit down and work out a program for them. So they can pay for it free tax.
Sounds great. Passage to Profit with Richard and Elizabeth Gearhart. We'll be right back after this.
Do you own an annuity, either fixed rate, indexed, or variable? Are you paying high fees and getting low returns? If so, Annuity General would like you to have this free book to learn the pitfalls and mistakes of buying an annuity. The Annuity Do's and Don'ts for Baby Boomers contains the little-known truths about annuities, like how to help reduce your fees and increase retirement income. And it's free. That's right, free. As a bonus, we'll also throw in a free annuity rate report just for calling. We researched over 1,000 annuities and summarized rates and benefits from financially strong insurers. You get Annuity Do's and Don'ts for Baby Boomers and the Annuity Rate Report, both absolutely free for calling Annuity General today. Hurry, supplies are limited. Call now.
800-653-8302. 800-653-8302. 800-653-8302. That's 800-653-8302.
The old way of living with diabetes is a pain. You've got to remember to do your testing and always need to stick your fingers to test your blood sugar. The new way to live your life with diabetes is with a continuous glucose monitor. Apply a discrete sensor on your body and it continuously monitors your glucose levels, helping you spend more time in range and freeing you from painful finger sticks. If you are living with type 1 or type 2 diabetes and you use insulin or have had hypoglycemic events, you might be eligible for a CGM through your insurance benefits. U.S. Med partners with over 500 private insurance companies and Medicare. We offer free shipping, 90-day supplies, and we bill your insurance. Call us today for a free benefits check.
800-824-4596. 800-824-4596. 800-824-4596. That's 800-824-4596.
Passage to Profit continues with Richard and Elizabeth Gearhart.
Now it's time for our Power Move segment. With us is Kenny Gibson.
Power Move today, really excited to talk about somebody who was recently on my podcast. It's no other than the RZA. If you're not familiar with who he is, either you've been sleeping under a rock or you've never heard of the infamous Wu-Tang Clan. He's been celebrating the 30th anniversary of Enter the Wu-Tang, 36 Chambers, with a film docuseries that he released recently at the Urban World Film Festival. And it's a really, really awesome film and shows how he's been able to pivot and move from not just being a rapper and a music innovator, but a cultural creator who's positioned himself in the film space. It's his fourth film, very exciting things going on. And it was awesome to see and preview it. And I had a really great conversation with him about that move and transition into the film space. And you can hear all about it on my Power Move podcast. That sounds like a great podcast.
That sounds really interesting. And where can people find your podcast?
Everywhere where you listen to podcasts, and you can actually watch it on YouTube and you can see it on Spotify in video as well.
Well, that's great. And Elizabeth, tell us about your projects.
I have Blue Streak Directory, which is a video directory of B2B businesses that I'm still working on the website for. And I have some new ideas for that, thanks to some things I've been doing in the podcasting space. I also have a podcast about cats for cat lovers and some dog lovers, too, because sometimes you do cats versus dogs. And I do that with Danielle Woolley, who is amazing. We have a lot of fun. We have guests on that. And if you like talking about cats, you can come on it. So it's called the Jersey Podcast. That is so much fun. And then I recently started a podcast for children. It's a video podcast, and I'm really making headway with it on YouTube. And it is called Ghost Stories, The Flip Side, featuring Fiona Fabelstable, the ghost. So I'm helping her with it. It's a lot of fun.
You always hear ghost stories from the human point of view, but you don't hear about what the ghosts are thinking unless you happen to know Fiona Fabelstable. And if you listen to that, you'll hear the ghost side of those favorite ghost stories of yours.
And now to continue with our theme of health and taking care of yourself, we have Jody Scott with greengoo.com. It's skincare, wound care, everything. I'm going to let her explain it. Welcome to the show, Jody.
Thank you for having me. My mom, sister, and I started this company together. My sister's a certified herbalist and midwife, and then I was pre-med. And so our goal initially was to change first aid. What we found incredibly interesting in the first aid category, it had not been disrupted in, 30, 40 years. The natural consumer was willing to abandon their natural ethos because they were told products like, Neosporin and hydrocortisone were the only products that could get the job done. So they'd have a very clean lifestyle, but you open up their first aid cabinet and it was full of chemicals. Then the conventional consumer really didn't care about the ingredients. They were just generally dissatisfied on what the OTC category had to offer and the efficacy. They found it inconvenient to have to go to the doctor. The solutions on the market are very much for acute short-term solutions. So use this product for 5 days, discontinue if symptoms do not resolve. And not only were people frustrated having to go to the doctor and have to go get a prescription medication, most people seeking skincare needs have chronic skin condition. And so the OTC market really has not accommodated to finding solutions for long-term skincare conditions. So my sister being the herbalist and me with my organic chemistry background, we thought, can we make a plant-based alternative that is superior in efficacy and also brings sustainability? When you look at the first aid set, if you will, everything's in plastic tubes being thrown into the landfill. Can we bring sustainable packaging? Can we bring a lifestyle brand to first aid, some personality, but really leading with efficacy first? And so Green Goo was born. What makes this incredibly unique too, just from a product standpoint, is that we compound from plants, much like you compound to make different kinds of pharmaceutical or OTC products. So we're not bringing pre-made extracts to our manufacturing facility. We're actually doing that process ourselves. So we bring the plants to our manufacturing facility where we take it through this extraction process, yield high amounts of the medicinal properties. And then there's unique formulas or unique oils that go into these formulas. And as you talk about, trademarking and patents and so forth, what we did with that process was when we explored a patent, the counsel was, hey, rather than just closing your process and making it easier for competitors to come in, why don't you see if you can trade secret this and really put some bumpers around this? Now, on a rewind for a little bit, when we were trying to find a manufacturer who was willing to do this, we had at least 10 to 15 no's. Manufacturers are going, we're not going to make this process for you. Why can't you go get pre-made extracts that are on the market
that's what everybody else is doing. And we'd say, well, this is why it works. This is the efficacy. This is the secret sauce. And it actually took, we were at a trade show and this man came by and he was selling us on lanyards and different kinds of promotional products. And he expressed that his son had eczema. So we gave him our dry skin formula. And at the time, John Hopkins had just started using this product in their scleroderma and skin condition department. So we were sharing that story with them. And, you know, he said, thank you. He left. About a week later, he called me and he said, you know what? I don't know how we're going to scale this product for you. And we're not even in this line of business, but the world needs this product. My son, for the first time, is not using his prescription medication for his eczema and is actually seeing results. So we're going to figure this out. And that manufacturer to this day is the one that we ended up partnering with. We developed a dedicated line, a dedicated team, a dedicated section in their facility that's FDA approved because we wanted to register the products with the FDA. So we could really take the position of efficacy first and have that sounding board for the consumers to depend on from a reliability standpoint. And then we really coveted that process. So our manufacturer not only can't replicate our formulas, they can't replicate the process with any other customer. And that's allowed us to protect that process. We took market share data information to help drive the different components that we were going to do in the product development. So we looked at things like what was converting the consumer in the first aid space, what symptom relief were they looking for? So when we looked at, for example, people who were using a topical antiseptic, they were also looking for pain relief. You see a lot of portable first aid kits. So we said, can we make one product that's not only a topical antiseptic, but can we also bring pain relief, speeding up the healing, slowing down the bleeding? So like our first aid product is more than just a topical antiseptic. It's your first aid on the go. So you can take this one little tin, this one little balm with you, and essentially you have your first aid kit with you everywhere you go. And then from there, we just started looking at other first aid products. You know, we have a vapor rub, a topical analgesic, cold sore solution, poison ivy. Now, since then, we've branched into other categories. We have personal care, sexual wellness, pet, all in the topical therapeutic space. But taking that same process at which we are putting those unique blends, those unique oils, and putting them into the products for the efficacy component.
How are you selling this now?
So we're in a number of retailers, CVS, Walgreens, Rite Aid. So we're in national pharmacies, grocery store, natural channels, direct to consumer, and Amazon. A lot of our business for the first 10 years was word of mouth. You know, being a plant-based first aid brand was incredibly disruptive, especially, you know, in the first 5 years of doing this. No one talks about plant-based. And then fast forward, really, in the last 2 years, and now we're here. I mean, there's plant-based water, right? There's the term plant-based has become a tagline, if you will. And thankfully, we're some of the originals who have started in the plant-based. So there's that authenticity. And so, you know, now it's not as challenging from a word-of-mouth standpoint, marketing, digital marketing, and so forth. And we do have some pretty great ambassadors. Shaq Thompson, who is a linebacker for the Panthers, partnered with us recently and very much with the intent of having natural solutions for pain relief. What we're seeing very much like Dr. Gladden talked about in terms of performance and recovery and looking at inflammation. And you're seeing a lot of professional athletes, for example, really look at a more integrative approach to their performance and their health.
Yes, I'd like to get Dr. Gladden's comments on this.
I love it, quite honestly. I love the fact that it's plant-based. I love the fact that you went outside the traditional guidelines and figured out a way to get it manufactured. And then I think to be able to crack the code on retail, that's a big jump, right? To get on the shelves at CVS and Walgreens and places like that. So, you know, it's great if you can just walk into a drugstore and buy something, right? And put it on. So I love that kind of thing. I think one question I would have, is it green and is it gooey?
Hence the name, yes. You know, we were thinking about what to name the product. We're in the first aid section. And of course, the advice was to look very medical and look like we belonged in the first aid set. And being a disruptor with the plant-based alternative just didn't feel right to have a generic name and packaging that looked very OTC because we needed to be loud. We needed to scream, hey, we are superior. And also, by the way, we also have really clean ingredients. And so we even have fun little jokes and taglines in all the products. And so the fact that it's green, they come from plant plants, it's sustainable. And when you open up the original balm, it was green. And so then we were like, do we call it green ointment? And then again, we were going down that road of trying to fit in so much in the set. And someone just stuck there and they're like, it's just kind of gooey. And we went, green goo.
That's great. Kenya, do you have a comment or question?
Yeah, I see you have a mama and baby line, which is awesome. And I see it sold out on your website. So in terms of like the evolution of your brand and where you're expanding product into different sectors beyond the mama and the baby sector, are there any other demographics that you're looking to target with your products?
We have a sexual wellness brand called Southern Butter, and that will be the first cruelty-free, FDA-approved lubricant. All lubricants have to have tests on animals to get their certification, the medical device certification. So we've been working with the FDA to get that approved without having to test on animals, which was very important to us because, of course, born in first aid, most of the OTC products have been tested on animals. We are getting ready to do something really interesting with our baby line with some partnerships and extensions and rebrands. So you'll see our baby line really develop over the next handful of months. And then as well as our pet and our personal care. So we've got a plant-based toothpaste that's actually made with sugarcane packaging in the tube and plant-based deodorant, which is really fun because when you look at your armpit, and this might be a fun one for you, Dr. Gladden, is that your armpit's a really unique tissue and it absorbs. We're always looking at the transdermal absorption at various places in your body, and your armpit is a place where you have a higher absorption rate. And that's alarming for a number of reasons. One, obviously, the traditional deodorant has a number of chemicals that have been identified as harmful to have under your armpits. You're getting a really high absorption rate near your lymph nodes, your lymphatic system. It can be working overtime and obviously stress the body out. And so now our deodorants have holy basil, ashwagandha, reishi mushroom, vitamin C, and all kinds of different vitamins, because why not? If it's absorbing more, let's give it more of something that the body may really appreciate and not only just try to avoid the things that aren't good for you.
Well, that's a new one, taking vitamins through your armpit, but I like it.
It's a special spot. I think you, Dr. Gladden, it might be a place to really do some more research. I feel like our armpit has been not appreciated.
The more ignored armpit.
So where do people find your products? Where do you most want them to go?
The best place to go would be greengoo.com.
Okay, greengoo.com. Well, thank you very much, Jody Scott. Really a revolutionary product, and I'm looking forward to getting some and giving it to my daughter to use when she hikes Appalachian Trail, because I heard that is like killer on your feet. So she's going to need it. So I am so excited to introduce our next presenter, Zoe Lay. We've been talking about health products. This is a dog food unlike any dog food. It's called the Rockster, and I'm going to let her explain why it's so special. Welcome, Zoe.
Thank you, Elizabeth, and greetings from a very cold English evening. The story behind Rockster is obviously a real story. It's very rooted in science. The average age of a dog used to be 18 years old since the invention of commercial pet food. And actually that is reduced to 11, and in some larger breeds as low as 8. So the story of Rockster is we were on our honeymoon eons ago, and we found what we thought was a dying dog. He was at least 5 years old, according to his dental records. And we did this insane thing, and we cancelled our honeymoon to rescue a mutt from the back streets of Naples. And in reality, he rescued us. We got onto the path of the food really because he refused all commercial pet food. He would go through a dustbin. He would go and run off to a restaurant rather than eat commercial pet food. And we found out many years later that actually, as a genuine street dog who'd survived for many years on the street, he had a heightened natural instinct of what would be harmful to him, which enabled him to go through dustbins. So we found out what was in pet food, and aghast that we tried to force feed Rockster this food. So I don't know if you know that 80% of all antibiotics are not used in medicine. They're used in agriculture.
We had some scientists from Rutgers on the show a few times ago doing gut bio research, and they are saying the same thing you're saying.
Yeah. The whole story is actually Rockster went on to be one of the oldest dogs recorded alive. He, in human years, made it to at least 147 years. We created the food for him, and it certainly wasn't intended as a commercial pet food. From the point of view of why is it so special? Why did he live that long? He became a dad of puppies, the Porson Pupsters, when he was 18, which is the Times of England ran a story that Mick Jagger and Rockstar became dads on the same day, and compared to the Rockstar, Mick Jagger was a mere sprinkling, right? And he actually tried to become a dad when he was 20 with his own daughter, and that was really big. But anyway, what is so special about it? So in Germany, especially, and in Europe, you have what is called bio-organic. It is an elevated form of organic that has zero tolerance to any kind of antibiotic, any use of antibiotic in the food chain, growth hormones, steroids, and anything like this. Actually, USDA organic allows the use of antibiotics, which a lot of people find quite shocking. And then if you look at the amino acid profile, if you look at the antioxidant count, the ORAC, of bio, for example, fruits and vegetables, and actually what is critical when it comes to also dogs, there's a big issue with dilated cardiomyopathy, but it's known as DCM. And the amino acid profile of the protein source is incredibly important, especially with dogs. So methionine and cysteine are essentially needed to synthesize the taurine in the dog. That is not found in peas or lentils and cheap other protein sources. It's found specifically in the meat and the muscle.
I do want to ask Dr. Gladden if he has a question or a thought about this.
I think it's fascinating what you're doing, and I think it goes to show you the power of healthy nutrition. One of the problems that humans have is getting truly nutrient-dense food, right? Even the organic foods many times are not that nutrient-dense, and it depends on where they're grown and the time of year. And in some cases, actually, organic foods have less nutrients than non-organically grown foods because there's not enough nitrate in the soil or other things that can be used. And dietary nitrate for humans is incredibly important for cardiovascular health. But I find it really interesting, this concept about taurine, because we know in humans, taurine is critical for cardiovascular function and can be used to treat congestive heart failure in humans as well. So I'm not a vet. I don't know veterinary medicine all that well. I do know a few vets, but I find that part of the story really fascinating. What you're really doing is prioritizing the animals to a level of a sacred being almost, right? Where we're going to feed this really sacred being this really high quality food. And we should do the same for humans, quite honestly.
I agree with that. And then we've also talked about sustainability. And, you know, for example, we use, and some people say, oh, but it's a can, it's a tin. We use a very special tin, but we could do all of that and it's cooked under vacuum. It's got a high, as you know, in some cases, our ORAC count goes to nearly 3,000. Typically, a dog food might have between 50 or 100 chemically given. But why would we cook under vacuum and under pressure, and it's called sous vide, in plastic? The endocrine system is potentially impacted by that, but it's also terrible for the planet and terrible for the oceans. So why would we use Tetra Pak, where actually you couldn't cook the way the food is cooked in a very, very special way that we can't even make it in America?
I do want to ask Kenya if she has a question or a comment.
I do, actually. I think what you're doing is brilliant. My sister went to vet school at Cornell, and they used to have, well, they still have this experiment or this research that they're doing with fistulated cows by taking the microbiome from the healthy cow, and then they redistribute that into the other to keep them well and healthy. So it sounds like you have built a system around food sustainability for animals based on that scientific research, if I'm understanding it correctly.
Yes and no. So essentially, when you take all antibiotic activity and you put the cleanest possible, healthiest food, we also add something which is a natural prebiotic, which is fermented Jerusalem artichoke concentrate. And it's a unique form of inulin, which enables then the gut to potentially repopulate in a very healthy way. And that's how, obviously, the microbiome is something that we're passionate about. I was shocked that every second dog, and even more, has an allergy. There is not a dog on the planet that was born allergic to chicken. We've had dogs that have got sadly very sick that have gone on Rockstar. The dog will go crazy for it because it will never had that kind of taste before, even from home cooked meals. And that's because we're cooking under pressure and traditional sous vide, which is actually a natural flavor enhancer. And it's the real meat and we use the muscle. And I give you a real case study, actually. Sarah Adams, who was one of the founders of the raw dog food movement. She had a dog, Abby, who was already well past the age of the average dog. She'd started having kidney disease, had been raw fed all its life. She found out about Rockstar and she started giving Abby Rockstar food instead of the traditional diet. A,
She chose Rockstar over the raw food, and that is because of the taste, and it's natural. And so the bloods have been done just before she had Rockstar, and a month of Rockstar food, and the kidney, the bloods were normal after a month of Rockstar. We had a similar situation with a two-year-old Shar Pei that had kidney failure, went on Rockstar, and after 3 months later, that without medication, which is what is so extraordinary, the power of food, and the bloods were normal.
So how is the product packaged?
So one of the things that's unique to Rockstar is I mentioned we don't use plastic, we don't cook it in plastic. It is cooked from raw in the can under pressure. So there is no leakage or seepage of any fat or water-soluble nutrients. The next time those raw ingredients see meat oxygen is when the can is opened. And if you see, we have no paper label. It's actually engraved onto the tin, which is a tin that's actually only used in Europe. I think we're the only product in America that actually has it. We're certainly the only certified bio-organic food in America.
And very nice looking. And where is the best place for people to find this food? I know I found a store on your website. It's right close to us in Summit. I was so thrilled about that.
So the best place to go is therockstar.com, where there you'll find the stockist locator. There are a number of stores, including Baxter Boone and respectively others worldwide online. Yeah, we are going to, I think from next year, we'll also start selling ourselves instead of just through stockists. We will have our own fulfillment in America, which will be very cool.
Excellent. Thank you. So it's the Rockstar, rockster.com. Right. Passage to Profit with Richard and Elizabeth Gearhart. Our special guest, Dr. Jeffrey Gladden. This has been a fantastic show. We're not done yet, so don't go away. We'll be right back.
Have you ever met a single person in your life that enjoys paying taxes? No, no one does. If you can't sleep at night because you have a huge problem with the IRS, I've got some free advice for you. This service is strictly limited to individuals that owe the IRS $10,000 or more in back taxes. And if you qualify, we can guarantee that you won't be writing a big, fat check to the IRS, or our services cost you nothing. The first 100 people that call today will get a free tax consultation worth $500. Stop worrying about your IRS problem. We can help you, we promise. Call the tax doctor right now. I mean right now to learn more.
800-917-8546. 800-917-8546. 800-917-8546. That's 800-917-8546.
It's Passage to Profit.
Now it's time for Noah's retrospective.
Noah Fleischman is our producer here at Passage to Profit. And he just has a way of putting his best memories in perspective.
We're just going to have to do something about all the fast advancing technology and consumer electronics out there these days. We can't even enjoy or appreciate a new gadget or device before we have to change or upgrade it without even enjoying or appreciating the one that we already have. You know, when I was a child growing up in my uncle's home in the 1970s, we had a black and white television set, and I loved it. We had friends and family with color TV, and I'd seen plenty of it, but I wasn't impressed. The Wizard of Oz looked great to me in black and white. More importantly, television was a very important part of our lives as a family unit. It gave us the chance to sit around the living room together and enjoy something without any disputes or issues. That all changed when my uncle came home one night with a brand new Zenith Chromacolor television set. It was one of those one-week trials, and it was the longest week of my life. And it didn't even last a full 7 days. No matter what was on the screen, it caused a dispute in the living room. This is too yellow. That's too blue. Can you do something about his orange hair? I was just praying for the black and white TV to come back so I could enjoy my television shows again. Well, soon I got my wish. After about 4 days, everyone got so tired of fighting, they sent the color TV out of the house. Peace at last. You know, there's advancements in radio, too. High definition, digital, all those sorts of things, and they're wonderful. But for me, I still like to listen in black and white.
Now more with Richard and Elizabeth. Passage to Profit.
Amazing show today. I've learned so much about my health and different health products that are trailblazers in the world, kind of upending traditional medicine, traditional medical treatments, and even traditional dog food. So now it's time for the question. Elizabeth Gearhart always has a question at the end of every program. And what is the question today?
Well, I'll start with Dr. Gladden. I know you have already contemplated this in your life, but if you knew you'd live to be 100 years old, what new things might you try?
Everything. When you're going to be 30, when you're 100, it changes your perspective so much that you continue to learn. I think I'm learning at a faster pace now than ever in my life. I'm getting involved with more collaborations, more companies, more initiatives than ever before in my life. When a lot of my peers, you know, from high school or college or medical school are thinking about retiring. So I can only imagine that if I have a 30-year-old body and a 300-year-old mind when as I approach 100, that I'll be involved in global activities and it'll be like the most fun ever.
Excellent.
Well, that sounds pretty good.
Yeah. So Jody Scott with greengoo.com. If you knew you'd live to be 100, what new things might you try?
You've just opened up Pandora's box for me, Dr. Gladden. This is amazing. I will definitely be investing more into my mindset. I think to your point, you know, as entrepreneurs, you put your health at risk. And so just in the spirit of knowing that that is a possibility, putting that first and foremost, and then I can start more businesses and travel more. And so I'm really excited about sort of the keys that you have just invited us to. So I'll be doing all of that. And then some.
Excellent. So Zoe Lay with therockster.com. If you knew you'd live to be 100, what new things might you try?
I definitely would invest much more into my health and into the holistic way. But I think that is absolutely it. There's so many things that you didn't learn to do when you were young that you kind of really wished you had. And that line, I know that lifelong learning is a lifelong endeavor. It's a lifelong journey. But actually, somehow it's easier to do it when you're young. If you stay younger, longer, there's imagine the kind of things that you can learn and that your brain plasticity, your neuroplasticity, if that is continuing, I mean, especially now with AI and the future, and be part of shaping that rather than feeling like an old age pensioner.
Yes, I agree. So Kenya Gibson, if you knew you'd live to be 100, what new things might you try?
I just want to be in the right state of mind if I live to be 100. I think my health is super important. You know, you have all these things out there like Alzheimer's and all these things that can affect you at that age. So I pray to God I'm in my right state of mind. I can be learning more, traveling, and just keep my brain intact, Lord. I need it.
Okay, so Richard Gearhart, after we send you off to Texas, and you get
my telomeres improve.
What new things would you?
Well, I'm going to say two things. First, and this is probably not the mindset that Dr. Gladden would appreciate, but I'm going to take more naps. I think that's going to be one thing. The other thing, though, is I'd like to experience great, great grandchildren. So our son is having a child.
His wife is, actually.
Well, yes. Well, the combination.
Yes.
The two of them together are going to be bringing a new life into the world, and we're going to be grandparents. And it would be awesome to see that child grow up and also have a child. And then we would be great grandparents. So I think that would be one of the pleasures of living to 100.
Yes. And for me, I think I would take more time to travel. So right now I feel so rooted, like there's so much I have to do all the time and I want to get it done quickly. And I want to make sure I'm taking care of other people and getting it all done. If I knew I had a lot of time, I would go to more places probably.
Well, that's great. So unfortunately, we have to wind things up.
But before we go, I'd like to thank the Passage to Profit team, Noah Fleischman, our producer, Alicia Morrissey, our program director. Our podcast can be found tomorrow anywhere you find your podcast. Just look for the Passage to Profit show.
And you can find us on Instagram and Threads at Passage to Profit show and Twitter, or if you're even more up to date, X at Passage to Profit, and on our YouTube channel. Please also join us on our new Facebook group. Search for Passage to Profit Show Listener Community, a new community space for our listeners and guests where you can post questions that you would like answered on the show and interact with the Passage to Profit team.
And remember, while the information on this program is believed to be correct, never take a legal step without checking with your legal professional first. Gearhart Law is here for your patent, trademark, and copyright needs. You can find us at gearhartlaw.com and contact us for a free consultation. Take care, everybody. Thanks for listening, and we'll be back next week.